From the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, folks, and thanks for tuning us in wherever you're doing this from, whether podcast or listening live or live streaming and all that jazz that goes on out there. Just when you thought it was safe to get back in the water, the speakeasy's back on the air. We're actually going to work on a jingle next week. I want to use Louis Armstrong as the show opening, create a bit of a signature element, which many friends have encouraged over the years, and I'm actually going to start listening. We're going to use his song, A Wonderful Life, and cut in the middle and do our little... station announcement and the whole nine yards. And
sounds like it's going to be a winner, Claudio.
I think so, and we'll certainly invite feedback if anybody has anything to say. Got a really unique show today. A friend of mine, Tony Alderman, is here in the studio. He's a marvelous painter of maritime subjects, and he is presently, I'm going to read a little statement here on his flyer. He's working on the Varnamtown Project, Preserving North Carolina Fishing Tradition on Canvas. Is the name of the collection. The men and women in the little fishing towns of North Carolina have made their living from the sea for centuries. Varnamtown is one of these small, dying fishing communities along the eastern coast of North Carolina. Unfortunately, this way of life is rapidly disappearing, and an important chapter in our history will soon be lost with little visual record of its existence. And that's where Tony and others like him come in. Tony, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm going to bring you on in just a moment. I want to introduce everybody else that's here. We have President Bob Crowley, who's going to catch us up with the latest from the Apex Arts Council that just celebrated their 10th birthday.
Good morning.
You're a decade old. And, of course, I have Will Williams here. And, as usual, flying this puddle jumper is Rocco, the one and only. So thank you for joining us. I'm going to start with you very quickly, Bob, to catch us up on all things Arts Council, and then we're going to float from you back to Tony Alderman and get into the arts project.
So you want me to do everything artsy right now. All right, well, I usually start off by telling you all kinds of fun things about the day. And today, by the way...
It's the historian in him, yes.
Yeah, the historian and the drunkard. Today, by the way, is National Chocolate-Covered Raisins Day. So if you're out there, you want to get a box of Raisinettes and celebrate. And I don't get any royalties for saying that. It's also Diabetes Alert Day. It's a day where we're supposed to alert everyone to, you know, take it, check on that, because, you know, the obesity of the American public is getting chronic, and this is becoming something that we need to look at. The other thing, Claudio mentioned that we are now, the Apex Arts Council is 10 years old. So on Sunday, we threw us a birthday party, and boy, did we have a great time there. We had a conference room at the local hotel, the Holiday Inn Express in Apex. We had 37 people show up. We had a wonderful chef do a great spread of food. Worked all week on it, I understand, didn't you, Claudio?
Yes, indeed.
So we had a good time, a big cake, and even had a couple of the town councilmen show up, and they brought a framed proclamation from the mayor congratulating us on our 10th anniversary and declaring that Apex Arts Council Day in Apex. And
I would say you became official.
Oh, I became a lot of things. I mean,
you can ask for money now.
I can ask for money now. I also wore my official Jerry Garcia tie, and that's... That was there. All right, but what's going on? Well, you know, the party was there. We had a great time in doing that. Everybody's invited to the 20th in 2025, so we will there.
Anyone that survives it, yeah.
Anyone that survives it there. The next thing, of course, on our plate is on Saturday. We're starting our education group again. We have classes in drawing birds and painting pictures and all sorts of stuff, and we got a few other things coming up there. And then... the first Saturday in May, we will have Peak Fest, which is the big We Are Wonderful block party for Apex, the peak of good living. And we will have an exhibit there, and I'm trying to talk our master of ceremonies here into joining us in the booth. So if you want to meet Claudio, you might want to come out to Peak Fest and see him there. And following that, of course, over the Labor Day, the Independence Day weekend, we'll be doing our exhibition of patriotic art. But we have another fun thing coming up. We are going to run in August a shag contest. Do you shag? How often do your partner and you shag? You know, if you're British, you won't understand that, but don't worry about it. We're going to do that, and we are going to present the first annual Womble Trophy.
Depending heavily on any existing cult followers.
Yep. So watch for that. If you're a shagger or whatever, we'll do that. So we got a lot of exciting things. But I want to mention one other thing that's not necessarily the Apex Arts Council. Most of you have regularly listened. I'm also involved in the New Hope Valley Railway. And our first operating day will be on the 12th of April. So if you want to get tickets, go to the website, TriangleTrain.com, and you can buy them there. And now back to Claudio.
Well, thank you. And I think before we start with Tony Alderman, which is going to be a fascinating little discussion, hanging out sort of back porch style, let's go to some La Vie en Rose by Wynton Marsalis. Thank you.
Listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater right here on WCOM, the Triangle's premier innovative radio station. We broadcast something for everyone at 103.5 FM, Carborough, Chapel Hill.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM. WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, and Carborough.
Now back to Claudio.
Now that we've got you all lulled, relaxed, kicking back on the couch or coffee houses, wherever you're listening from, I'm going to bring on the artist Tony Alderman. And first, I want to ask you where you're actually from, Tony, and then we'll get into your nautical artwork.
Okay, well, that's actually kind of a convoluted story.
Bit of a lengthy tale, is it?
Yeah, just a bit. I'm an Air Force brat, so okay. I was born in Riverside, California. Before I could, well, I guess about 4 months old, we were in Germany. And then, but long story short, I grew up most of the time from about sixth grade on through high school in Northern California.
So, I try to avoid growing up myself, but
well,
glad you did it.
It hasn't worked yet, so I'm told anyway.
Gotcha.
But through college and everything, we moved to Durham about 30 years ago, 31 years ago now. Have been there ever since.
What inspired the nautical horizons? Of course, you're here. You are a pilot brat, so to speak, but you took to the sea.
I did. I was actually, my wife and I took a trip up to Manio. And when I started painting, it's always sort of love of the water and seeing how it reacted to light.
So you were drawn to water right off.
Yeah, and sort of circulates throughout all of my work. Like I said, we were in Manio, and went over to Juan Chis, which Manio and Juan Chis are almost like twin sister cities, but you can't really call Juan Chis a city because it's the working area of all of that areas of boats.
Right, okay.
Fishing, shrimping, everything. And I got there, and there was just this fascination with the ruggedness of it, the beauty of the boats and the kinds of boats. You had everything from these monstrous commercial fishing boats, because several fleets are there in that area.
Right.
But they had all these small, just medium sized and decrepit, all different kinds of states of repair, and that sort of was the trigger that got me interested in actually just painting boats.
So it was more of a visual stimuli at first before you actually had any experience on the water yourself.
Absolutely.
And then did you take to any sailing or anything along those lines?
At that point, I decided I wanted to push it further. So I was looking for ways to get on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Southport at the Cape Fear Yacht Club, or their subsidiary, the Southport Marina.
Gotcha.
And
I've been in Southport. That's quite a beautiful area.
It is a gorgeous place. And so my thinking was, I need to see if I can't paint some sailboats. Mm-hmm. Just get some. And the guy told me, he says, well, they have this was about 4 years ago, the Frostbite Regatta is coming up. Now, I'm thinking frostbite, so mm-hmm. It's in
Sounds
November.
A little chilly,
so,
yes.
It's a little chilly. And so he said, I bet you I can get you on one of the safety boats. I said, sounds great. So he gave me the name of the guy to call, and it was Woody. And I called him and said, sure, come on down. And I have since that time been on safety boat almost two or three times a year.
So this was, however, your maiden voyage.
Right. Did
you develop sea legs quickly, or did
I
over the bow for a lengthy period of time?
No, I've only had one chance like that, and that was a one I want to forget. But I got on a safety boat, and we chased around that regatta for about 4 hours, and it was just fantastic.
Impressive.
It was wonderful, and ever since then I go.
What would you say that added to your dimension as an artist of the sea or of nautical elements?
Well, it changed my vision. It changed the way I looked at boats. It changed the way I looked at sailing. It changed the way I looked at actually seeing what they do in the water. Being an Air Force brat, I have a vision of flying. And
sure.
I love it. But sailboats they're airplanes in the water.
Essentially, and I think you mentioned, too, that a lot of people that see your art have mentioned, especially sailors, that they like the way that your lines are taut in the scenes, and that mm-hmm. you obviously know what you're painting when the boat is leaning a certain way mm-hmm. and so on. So you obviously studied some of the technical aspects of it as well.
Absolutely. That's one of the things. I'm sort of an obsessive
person. A sailor will be very quick to point that out to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, and they have. They said, and that's the one thing that they talk about is that, it's right.
Yeah.
My son was...
You must know something.
Yeah. And my son was... one of his bosses one time was saying... He was a sailor. He said, I want to see your dad's work, because, I'm kind of picky.
Well, Aaron got me kind of curious about you long before I met you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so he showed him the work, and the thing he said was that they're all right. They're, mm-hmm. they're correct. And I strive for that.
And that's a beautiful thing to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is. The best compliment for me is a sailor saying my boats are right.
Absolutely.
Because they know.
Like years ago, I was performing Seafarers at Thompson Theater, and they had an admiral from the U.S. Navy. A lady brought her father, who was in his 70s. He'd been out for a long time, but he showed up in uniform. I told you the story behind the uh-huh. scenes, but I'm going to tell it again for the public. But I remember one of the greatest compliments of my life for performing that. It was a maritime work, and before I put it on stage, I tried it out on sailors and seafaring mm-hmm. audiences to mm-hmm. see if I was hitting the mark. Mm-hmm. This guy came backstage just to shake my hand and say, son, you've been there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that to
exactly.
me was the greatest thing I could have heard.
There are certain things that go into in your artwork if you're doing something like that, like you with poetry and things, and me with my painting, that you don't see just from looking at it in a book. You actually have to get out there.
No.
You have to walk on the piers. And
it's funny you should say that, looking at a book. I was, before I went to sea and fell in love with Mother Ocean and spent a decade on her pretty much straight as a chef, but you don't get to do just one thing on these vessels. I was reading Jack London's Seawolf. Mm-hmm. I was halfway through the book, and I decided, I got to go do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say that. I guess about 2 months ago, I read, believe it or not, for the first time, The Old Man and the Sea.
Ah, Hemingway.
And I'm going like, I felt I could understand. Now, my wife has read it several times in school and stuff, and she hates it. She just doesn't like it. But it's like everything that went on in that book, registered in my heart.
Oh, you can identify with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could see that guy pulling that fish and, mm-hmm. He struggled
mm-hmm.
to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fish being eaten all the way home.
Uh-huh. And it was really funny. It didn't matter.
It didn't.
He
no.
did what he wanted to do.
That was not what it was about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Extraordinary. Well, you have some of the most beautiful nautical images I've seen. Tell people where they can go to see these.
Actually, they're my website, of course,
which
is tonyaldermanarts.com.
And that's ALDERMAN, or is it two N's?
No, one N.
Arts. TonyAldermanArts.com.
.com. And of course, my Facebook page.
Tony at Alderman Arts or Tony Alderman Arts?
Tony Alderman Arts.
Gotcha.
.com. And presently, my nautical pieces, I don't have a in-town place that I'm showing them. I take that back. There's a new small little gallery on Iredale, Teresa's gallery, that has four or five of the pieces.
Okay. And do you have any in coastal areas now, or are you getting ready to go on this tour?
I am. Well, the tour is still about 6 months out, but I do have pieces in a How Outrageous gallery, which is in Southport.
And what you're trying to do right now is basically lubricate the wheels by getting some funding behind you. And tell us also this plight that you have of essentially preserving the smaller fisheries.
What happened was I was in Southport after I had finished photographing one of the regattas a couple of years ago, and I was talking to one of the locals, and they said, well, have you heard of the town Varnantown? And I said, what? It's like, no. She proceeded to tell me that you can't get there from here, but my GPS worked it out. So I went down to Varnantown, and it is just that. It is a small fishing, shrimping village, primarily shrimping.
I'm looking to live in a place where you can't get there from here.
Yep. <Wouldn't> we all? Just as long as I can get back.
Yes, right.
But anyway, she told me about it, so immediately that afternoon I drove down and fell in love with this. It became an obsession, really. Of this town, the plight that they're going through, and it was at first sight it was great, but then the more you got to know the people and knew the town, the more you realized the changes that have gone on through that town. I mean, it was actually founded. The town itself was founded around the time of the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
And then getting to know that the sort of the history behind it, and that it was primarily a fishing and shrimping village.
So did you go and meet some of these people in the fisheries and so on?
Yes, I did, and I continue to. One of the owners of Garland Seafood, Jackie Varnon, from Varnantown.
Interesting, okay.
She's actually on my board for the project, but she also is also involved with Brunswick Catch and North Carolina Catch.
Gotcha.
Which is promoting local local wild seafood, mm-hmm. For restaurants and things like that. But I got to know her and Mr. Varnon, O'Neill Varnon, which is one of the older guys in town. I've gotten a good relationship with them, and they're really backing behind the project.
How big would you say the small town is?
It is 540 people.
Love it.
Yes. That was actually as of the 2010 census, which is the latest one that mm-hmm. we have of that. The median age is 50.
So it's a place where kids grow up and leave,
and
I guess.
Leave, yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the truth.
And a certain way of life as a result of it falls away.
Right, exactly. And it's a hard life. I mean, it really is a hard life.
But there's romance to it.
There is very much romance to it. And I think that's part of the appeal of it, is that there is very romantic. But the other part is that kids are realistic, and their parents are realistic. They know that there is only so much that these kids can do in a small fishing village that is basically becoming less and less.
Yeah, sadly. And your concern right now, I know you have a plight to help preserve and protect this, and your concern is that the corporations are coming in and swallowing up the little fish, so to speak.
Oh, actually, yes. And they do. And that, the corporations and fish, shrimping and fish, frozen fish from China and Taiwan and Japan even.
And, of course, so many of the corporate fisheries or fishing ships, so to speak, are just literally depleting supplies.
They are. And luckily, for the local live shrimp, the larger fishing, I don't know, the corporations can't get to where they go. The bar that's off of Southport is too shallow for a lot of the other. I mean, it's 30 feet, but mm-hmm. But the smaller local fishing and shrimping boats can get there. So there is a whole segment of shrimp that we can get that the general public can't get outside of North Carolina,
gotcha.
Which is great.
Well, let's get back to this in just a moment and tune into a little more music.
A little more music,
yes,
Claudio.
Let's break it up a little around here.
You're listening to 103.5 Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and also heard online at WCOMFM.org. Thanks for making us a part of your day.
And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here in the studio with Tony Alderman, the nautical maritime artist. Back at you. Thank you.
Tune to 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro.
Community.
Thanks for listening to our station.
Community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is 103.5 WCOM. And now, back to Claudio.
Thank you, and thank you, folks, for tuning us in. I'm here in the studio with Tony Alderman, also Bob Crowley, Will Williams, you just heard speaking, who's running the board right now. Looking forward to having him on as co-host whenever Rocco can't make it, but he's co-host in general anyway. I wanted to talk to you for a second to catch us up on your film, No Child, the movie, coming out soon. It's hitting film festivals, making its world premiere. Catch us up on that.
Yeah, we're excited to announce that last Thursday we received the confirmation that we will be having our world premiere at the Julian Dubuque International Film Festival.
In Iowa.
In Iowa. And that is in April. It starts April 23rd and it lasts through the 26th. So we're going to head out there and we're looking forward to it.
Fantastic. And that's basically the beginning of the launch for it to go worldwide.
Yeah, once it plays there, we're going to start launching it to all the festivals we can, hoping to get it out there.
One of the magical things about this location is it's where they made that baseball movie. What was the name? A Field of Dreams. So it's close to that. So there's a little magic in the air about this whole thing.
Yeah. So I know last year they had, it was like the 20th anniversary maybe for Field of Dreams.
Right.
And or maybe the 25th. And
you got me on the exact number.
And they had a new premiere for it at the festival last year.
All right. So. And I understand they took in over 300 films this time, but we were part of a narrowed down selection of only 35 that they accepted, right?
Yeah, they said after it was all said and done, it was actually closer to 400. So.
And they narrowed it down to 35. And
35. So
No Child wound up in the top of those numbers.
Yeah, so we were honored to be in the 35.
Fantastic. And that'll be happening. I keep envisioning myself going out there because I think I want to come to this film festival, make an appearance. I'd like to get a couple of Easy Rider scooters, man, and just go see some of those flatlands.
You know, there's also another theatrical tradition with Iowa, too, that's where the mythical River City, Iowa was from the Music Man. That's where they did all of that, you know, where we can stand touching noses for an entire weekend and never see eye to eye.
My kind of place. I like it. Is there anything else you wanted to catch us up on with the Apex Arts Council?
I do want to mention one thing that I know, and I don't know if he's mentioned this on air before, but our good friend Claudio here is putting together a new production of Seafarers, his one-man show of poetry and such about the
storytelling.
Sea. Storytelling and whatever all else we've got, and I know that I've been bugging him that the Apex Arts Council, when he's ready for that, wants to produce it. On the stage at probably the Halley Cultural Arts Center in Apex, and maybe even a few others.
And actually, my friend Ira David Wood has opened the door to me bringing it back to where it was launched back in '88. So that's also on the map for me getting off my butt eventually and doing it again.
Yeah, well, we're going to kick him until he does.
And that's the word. And actually, on that note, why don't we go ahead and do our moment of radio theater and plug Seafarers, which is number 19 on this, just to add to the flavor of the salt around here. And then we'll go back to Tony Alderman.
Seafarers. The captain cried, "We're home at last," as the ship came close to shore. I swore I'd leave the ocean then and ride her waves no more. We drank of the first of a loaded round, of which we'd all be drinking more. The toasting of mugs was the only sound until a drunkard struck the floor. "We made it safe," the captain said, "to sail that savage sea. Now you go home and I'll explain of the two that died for me." The first mate staggered outward, and turned to say goodbye. The chef, he headed homeward as he belched his last reply. It was soon that the crew had left him. Before long, they'd all bade farewell. And so we drank, eh, the captain and I, for we'd still many a drunk tale to tell. I propose a toast to Benjamin, for a mighty fine lad was he, who'd saved the heads of the captain and crew, then drowned in the savage sea. So I propose a toast to Arthur, said I, with a tear-eyed grin, who never knew what struck him till the great white pulled him in. We soon drank down every promise that another sun would rise, and then slept upon the premise that I'd spare my last goodbyes. The day broke grey and sullen as I awakened on the deck. Today he would be sailing alone upon this wreck. I climbed down to his cabin through a galley ruined below to suggest he hire crewmen, as he yawned and then said, no. No, said he, my friend, I'll not take the chance again of reaching troubled waters and losing a few good men. He said he hadn't slept well, for the night was moist and hot. I could tell his dreams were troubled, though he spoke as they were not. The captain felt it duty to sail another 1,000 miles to bring tidings of dead crewmen to their loved ones on the isles. I had sworn to leave the ocean, though somehow I felt refrain. For without a friend's devotion, I felt his journey'd be in vain. Well, I soon replaced the mastmen who had lost their lives at sea, as I saw a weary captain look in disbelief at me. I thought you were set to leave, lad. Could have sworn I'd seen you go, said I. No, my friend, I'm staying for another wicked blow. Once we'd stocked with food and drink, we set her tattered sails for sea, and then we prayed she wouldn't sink and leave a faring memory. So I swore to leave the ocean and to ride her waves no more, though I'd taken such a notion over 100 times before.
Of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP-FM.
We're glad you found us. We're WCOM, Community Radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. And now, back to Claudio.
And with me, it's back to Tony Alderman, the maritime artist that we have in the studio here today. Let's continue on with this plight for the small town fisheries, and also incorporate how your art will eventually be exhibited and where. And, of course, also any contact information we can get out.
Okay. Well, again, once I got into to town and realized that getting to know people, I started realizing that this town has changed so drastically over the last 10 years.
This being a coastal town, yes.
This being a coastal town. And a lot of influences. One, the impact of commercial fishing, of course.
Right.
The impact of imported frozen fishing and shrimp from overseas. And then the fact that the children that were leaving, once they get to high school age and they graduate, they go off to college. And as the norm is, they don't come back.
And then they go to bigger and better things, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly. And I think the thing is that their parents know it, too. They want better for their children. And being that this is such a hard life, I mean, you know what it's like sailing. You're at the hands of the water gods.
Oh, when you run away, there's nothing easy about it.
No, there isn't. And so that's going to, you know, sometimes you can fish, sometimes you can't. If they get a hard rain, Varnamtown is also one of the major oyster beds.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yes. And but if they get a hard rain, they get pollution coming down from the pig farms and all that stuff.
I got you.
And they will lock down sometimes the oyster beds for sometimes up to a week.
Hmm.
And so because they check it, and check the levels, and sometimes.
Is it that extreme? Because oysters are known to be a bit of a filtration system.
They are a filtration system, but what happens is that as they're filtering those
pollution, pesticides, as the word.
Exactly, pesticides that they can't be eaten.
Right.
So they can't get on the beds. But Varnamtown is a huge oyster bed.
We really, really, really need to strive to minimize pesticides altogether. I mean, we are consuming pesticides. They're trying to do, what is this new modified food now, where they're trying to actually put pesticides into the actual corn, into the actual plant itself, and so that their corporations can save themselves money, and they don't care if it kills us.
I know. Does that make any sense?
Makes no sense at all. And the fact that we're allowing it makes no sense to me.
Absolutely.
We need to get our butts off the couch and do something about this, because they're running away with us, with our lives.
And it, you know, you wonder, will it ever change? I mean, I hope it does.
It's going to have to change, but it'll only change if the American people get up and go, enough.
Exactly.
And, you know, start throwing some of these suckers out the window.
Exactly. I think that's one of the reasons I really like. There's a walking fish. That's a corporation for bringing life. I mean, not life. They're dead when they get here.
Right.
But bringing a wild fish from the coast to North Carolina, interior North Carolina. There's like three or four drop-off points within the triangle. But Walking Fish is a corporation out of...
And what exactly do they do?
They are the... You know how you have the... I don't know what they call them, where they bring the vegetables all in, and you can get on the list and get fresh vegetables.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
This is the same thing. You can get on their list. You pay a certain amount of money, and they have a drop-off point, whatever's in season.
And they're offering you a natural product,
it's
basically.
A natural
free
product,
of pesticides.
Straight out of the water, off North Carolina coast.
Gotcha.
So, actually, they're a part of North Carolina Catch, and they're mostly out of Moorhead City, so... Carteret. They're part of Carteret.
Carteret County, I got you.
Yeah. But that's one way that we at the interior can actually get live fish. That's
live frozen, we get you, that's right.
Wild fish to actually enjoy.
And we promise you we're not passing a joint around here.
Okay. But anyway, that's...
He just talks that way.
What can I say?
Hey.
But... That being said, we see the influence of what's happening at our coast in Durham, North Carolina. You know, so it's all tied.
And how has your conviction sort of evolved around all this and this whole plight of the exhibit that you're taking on the road?
Well, it's become again. I tend to obsess about things. So what can I say?
Now that's a good one to sink your teeth into.
Exactly. I'm really wanting to on one part. To do this project of basically 20 acrylic water acrylic paintings on canvas, 20 watercolors, and then a book.
And are these images taken from all of these coastal regions that you're referring to?
No, or strictly Varnamtown.
Strictly Varnamtown. I got you. Okay.
And I would love to do it again in another.
But you'd like the philosophy to spill over into these smaller communities.
I mean,
yeah,
it needs to become an educational thing. It's not just trying to do these paintings because I like to paint.
No, I understand
doing these
that.
Paintings because we can need to educate. The people inland, because I would love to take the show. The idea is to take the entire show on a traveling tour of Wilmington, then to, I don't know, Raleigh, Durham, of course.
Why not, yeah.
Then Asheville, Charlotte. All of these places have ties to the coast. Some of them, they don't even realize that they have these ties, but they do. We're tied to our
coast. We all do, no matter where we are.
Absolutely. And so educate people about the plight of what's going on at our coast. Because Varnamtown is like a microcosm of what's happening all up and down the coast. It's not just Varnamtown.
And we can be a lot more powerful now in personal movements against political corruptions or corporate corruptions by using the internet. Sign on to things that you believe in and let your voice be heard.
Absolutely. We multiply our voice now.
Yeah.
And so that's the
some of the politicians are actually getting scared by some of the signatures they're barraged with when the people in general want to get something done, even though their fat cat friends don't.
Absolutely. And I think that is part of what we need to do.
Yeah, we do need to do that.
That's really the thrust.
We need to care about the regular Joe. That's what it boils down to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the coast. I mean, these same type things happen in the small farming communities and up in the mountains.
Farmer is a good one to use an example.
Absolutely. So I think that's part of the process that I'm wanting to go through with this at Varnamtown. Then I want to move it to another. So it's one project at a time, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to learn to share the plight of what's going on so that we can change it in some way. So that's sort of where I'm going with that.
In some respects, you know, they say that with clothing and with many things and such as antiques, the old becomes the new. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we can do anything better. I don't think we can improve upon true heart values that we essentially came from. And to go back to holding ourselves to those morals, to that kind of kindness, instead of everything being completely washed away in financial and economic philosophy.
Absolutely.
I think we really do need to have a heart for how to live life here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And change is inevitable. It's going to happen.
Yes.
These small villages are going to change. But
that doesn't mean it has to happen for the worse.
Exactly. I think that we need to get a handle on it and be able to control the change that happens so that it's not overwhelmed. I think Beaufort's done a good job of controlling the change there, and they've done some really nice things there.
They say a picture paints 1,000 words, and your art certainly does. Keep that thought. We're going to come back to you. We're going to hit a little music.
Thank you.
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. You're listening to Community Radio for Carborough and Chapel Hill, WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
And I'm going to bounce right over to Bob Crowley. You had an interesting thing to add.
Yeah, when we were talking offline here, I mentioned that there is a connection at every human being, and indeed every mammal on Earth and most other animals too, have to the sea that most people don't realize. Your blood. Your blood has a salt content, and that is the same salt content as the ancient seas from which we came. So you definitely want to remember that. And Rocco, I think you had something
that explains
about that.
The compulsion, doesn't it? Yes.
It could be.
Rocco, you had a magnificent thing to add there.
Years ago, I used to be a science teacher in high school, and I found out that there is a big difference if someone drowns in fresh water or salt water. And if someone drowns in salt water, it's possible that they could be revived and come back and become conscious again and back to normal. Whereas if you drown in fresh water, a lake, a river, a swimming pool, there's a big difference, because when you drown in a freshwater environment, what happens is that water goes into your lungs and then eventually into your bloodstream and will go into the red blood cells that we all carry, and the fresh water will hemorrhage the red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have internal bleeding from your red blood cells hemorrhaging, you're going to die. But with salt water, the salt water will go into the red blood cells and not hemorrhage them and just mix in some manner. And if you can get artificial respiration or out of the water in time, the oxygen will come back in and push the water, the salt water, out of the red blood cells, and a person can be revived.
So you might have actually been preserved.
And that's why you hear of people drowning in the ocean and they come
back. So that, because they're still essentially oxygenated.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But in a swimming pool or river or lake, it's a whole different
thing. The chlorine will kill you. The smell will kill you before you hit the water.
Yeah.
So is that a little bit like pickling?
Yeah, there we go.
Something like
there
that.
There we go.
So that's why we need to protect our oceans. And
It's pickling with audio.
Yeah,
pickling. It's pickling with audio. So listen, let's get back to your thing. We've got about 5 minutes before we wrap. So why don't you give us all the contact information that we need, anyone that's interested in your art and so on, and how they can get up with you.
Actually,
and also what it is you're doing. I think you have a fundraiser project. We can't talk money, but you can certainly tell folks if they have an interest in supporting this, where they can go.
Yeah, first off, the fundraiser is through Rocket Hub, which allows me to be a nonprofit.
Right.
It is sponsored. I have fiscal sponsorship through the New York Foundation of the Arts.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
they're the umbrella that it goes under. If you go to my webpage, tonyaldermanarts.com, at the top there's a link that takes you to the Rocket Hub, and also you'll be able to see all the paintings from the Varnentown project there. Like I say, there's going to be 20 paintings.
The whole gallery is beautiful.
Yeah. There are 10 of the paintings are done now. And I'll be spending a long weekend in 2 weeks.
Lots of time in the studio.
Yeah. But in Varnentown, I'm doing all the watercolors are actually going to be done on site.
Mm-hmm.
So they're plein air watercolors. And another thing is that I am actually looking to be able to find some places to do a presentation about the project. So corporations, individuals, groups.
So you're open to ideas. If anybody wants to drop him
a
line, please do.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking to finish the project August and have the book out and start the by spring of next year. I want the actual tours.
You're going to be underway. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Up until then, you're basically creating work. And, you know, there are a lot of people that like to come out and see the artist in process. Are you open to any of that sort of
absolutely.
Thing?
Okay. My studio, just give me a line, email, call.
And they can get your email on your website.
Yep, email and my phone number's on the website.
Okay.
So come out and see the studio and see what's going on there.
And just wish him well and stand behind preserving this way of life.
Absolutely. I think it is something, it's so important that we work hard to preserve this, because it's not going to be like this next year.
No.
You know, and so I'm not really trying to grab things from the past and make it present day. I'm trying to preserve it as it is right now.
And like we discussed earlier, you know, the future doesn't always have to become worse in the name of
exactly.
progress. It could really keep what is good. You don't have to fix what ain't broke.
Exactly. Exactly.
So keep that alive. Keep
or
it going.
At least make it not break more.
Right. Exactly. There we go. Good point. And want to congratulate you, Bob, on the plaque that you got from the mayor.
Yes, thank you very much.
The Apex Arts Council is now official. And incidentally, I better mention this at least once during my show.
Yes, sir.
One of my sponsors, of course, is the Apex Arts Council, as well as the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham. Big shout out to them. Just check out their website
yep.
and see what they've got going on. They've got some of the most amazing people in the world performing there. So
yeah. And don't forget to go to our website at apexartscouncil.org. And you'll find links for Chef Claudio and all sorts of stuff there. So come on out and come to our events, and I'll shut up now. Goodbye.
All kinds of jazz. All right. And Will will keep us tuned in. I think on April 14th, Director Rob Underhill is going to spend the hour here with us and catch us up on everything that's happening with that film, as well as a few other projects he has hanging fire. And Rocco, you've been all over the place with concerns about your places up in the mountains, so that's the reason we haven't we've missed a couple of shows, but that will not continue to be the case. So thank you, folks, for joining us. Thanks for listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Until next time, this is your host, Claudio. Cheers.